welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
Once when the sun came down from heaven, angels were singing, shepherds came, hoping to find him, wise men traveling, sweet baby Jesus on the hay. Once when the sun came down from Calvary, dark filled the earth in the middle of the day. That's where he died on a cross. He carried his blood, took the stain of sin away. Oh, the grace shed down upon us, holy God on unholy ground. Nothing on earth can take him from us. Glory in the highest, the sun came down.
Once when the sun came down a mountain from Joseph's tomb, alive once more,
how his disciples must have shouted. Death could not hold him, Jesus our Lord. Oh, the grace shed down upon us, holy God on unholy ground. Nothing on earth can take him from us. Glory in the highest, the sun came down.
Nothing on earth can take him from us.
Glory in the highest, the sun came down.
Hello again, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Thankful to be able to come back this way and have what we consider another God-given opportunity that might come this way and try to bring a message from the Word of God. I do sincerely appreciate all who tune in. Thank you for your prayers and invite you to continually to pray for this work as it goes on. We believe very much that it's very important that the Word of God be considered and be considered in those parts that the Lord would have for us to look at it. I believe all the Word of God is important and wouldn't even try to suggest otherwise, but we do very much feel like that there's a purpose, a reason that God has for calling men to preach and then sending them forward and having them to deliver the message. So when those opportunities come to consider the Word of God that's being declared, I believe we should lay hold upon it, not because of the individual who's necessarily bringing the message, but because of the message itself. When it's coming from the Word of God, that it is just that it is the Word of God. So we sincerely appreciate you tuning in, and we do invite you to pray for us and to consider the things that are brought forth as we do address points from time to time. I do ask you to consider prayerfully the things that are found in the Word of God, and believing this, that the Lord, He's let us know in His Word that He wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and therefore He is there for us to interact with personally on an individual basis, in as much as He wants us to not only to be saved but to come to the knowledge of the truth. I believe He very much wants us to know and to understand what's in His Word, so He will help us that we might indeed find what it is that the Word of God is teaching. So I would invite all to consider what's brought forth. We'll try to make sure as we present the things and thoughts from the Scriptures that we give the Scriptures, give the references, and then encourage you to take those points up and study them. And I believe very much that when we are just honestly wanting to take what it is that the Bible is teaching, that God is going to help us to come to the truth, to come to the conclusion of what the truth is in subjects. There's a lot of confusion that comes up, comes into our lives, and oftentimes the confusion stems from, or perhaps if it's not, doesn't rise to the level of confusion, perhaps it's uncertainty, but this stems from on our part, oftentimes we have an unwillingness to just take what it is that the Word of God is teaching. We sometimes come with our own conclusions or our own assumptions, and we're not willing to accept anything but what we have already concluded. I think that that's a point that would hinder us in our study. So we'd encourage and invite a open, honest consideration of the Word of God, and pray for us that as we study, we'll likewise be found doing just that very same thing. We do have some thoughts in our heart that we feel like we need to try to address as we have been taking up a series on the subject of the kingdom. This will be the fourth part in this series as we have progressed through these points and these different series. As we have pointed out, there is a place, which will be mentioned, a website that you can go to find the previous recordings, previous messages. If you would like to have access to those, I'd encourage you to follow through on that. Just follow the information there. If you struggle with finding where those are at, if you would just contact us through the information that will be given at the end of this broadcast, we'll be glad to share that with you so that you might want to consider those other parts. But as we are at this point, as we said before, we'll just try to follow along and take up these parts on this subject of the kingdom as long as we feel like that we should, and the Lord continues to lay it on our heart. But we do invite you to study through these, and this will be the fourth part in this study. We want to invite everyone to join with us in prayer, and after we pray, we'll try to take up the thought that's on our heart. So if it's to where that you can and you'd like to join with us, let's pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for your rich many blessings that you extend to us through thy Son, Christ Jesus. And we ask you, Lord, to take us and use us in such a way that indeed that the use would be helpful to those about us. Forgive us, Lord, our sins. Forgive us our shortcomings and cleanse us and direct us, Lord, that by the guidance of your own hand we might walk in that path of truth and righteousness, and with the grace and the strength of the grace of God be such as we know we can't be on our own. We're thankful for the many times that you have directed and helped us and encouraged us and kept us close. We ask you, Lord, to help us that in walking along this journey we'd always be found pursuing after that that's good and right in your sight. We pray, God, again for the many sad and needy circumstances. We pray for families who've given up their loved ones and in the sadness and heaviness of heart, which that not only is felt in families, but close relations and friends. And we pray for your hand of comfort through these times. And we pray, God, for those who are not well. Pray for those who that are sick and afflicted. Pray, Lord, that you'd richly bless them. Help them, Father, that they might indeed regain health, regain, Father, their much-wanted encouragement. And grant, Lord, that as we interact with these in all such ways, that we might truly, Lord, receive of your grace and goodness, that we might have the things to share that would be helpful and be that Father, would truly be help us to be a neighbor to these in these circumstances. We pray mainly for the lost, knowing that the lost have the worst condition of all. Pray that eyes would be opened and hearts would be made aware of eternal destinations, that, Father, there would be a turning unto thee, our God, a turning from death and a turning to life. And help us to know thee in the free pardon of sin, that we might be ever following after thee and standing where you'd have us stand, that we might be advocates and fellow laborers with God and sharing the truth to help the lost to see their need. And we pray, God, that you'd help those who've been born again, that, Lord, that there would be a leadership and a guidance into the house of God, where that in serving Christ, our head, and Father, that there would be truly a worship of God and a service in this life that would benefit those who we come in contact with, that your wonderful word would be shared both far and near. We know, Father, that our country stands in need of your guidance, and we pray you'd grant that. You see, we stand in need of, and help us to know how that we can make our contribution in those good efforts. Take this work and use it to that that's good and right in your sight. Strengthen us and guide us that it would always be something, Father, that our life would be something to support such a work as this and not a hindrance. Take now and use many things we know we fail to ask but fail not to grant. For we seek all favors and blessings in Jesus' name. For His name's sake we do pray. Amen. As we said earlier, there are some thoughts that are on our heart we feel like we need to try to address. We have been considering parts of the series on the kingdom. And in considering these parts, we have noted that the kingdom, as we consider the scriptures in the historical context of what that we're told about the kingdom, we first presented how that the kingdom has already been established and is in existence and will remain in existence. We also took a look at, after a couple of series on putting those points together and looking at how the scripture establishes that, as we might continue on and try to address this subject, might remember that we have in previous points tried to address that the kingdom is set up at this time. That might be helpful as we address these different or these continuing parts of this series, so that as you hear what's being presented, you'll know the context or the setting is that, well, the kingdom has already been set up. So with that in mind, consider this. So we've looked at the part where that the kingdom has already been set up, and then most recently we took a look at how that Christ is already king. He has all authority. He is governing now, even at this present time. He is not seeking, or we are not seeking for a future time when that He is going to be king, but that He is already entrusted with all authority, with all power in heaven and in earth. And He has given directions unto His followers, the church, and His authority, it reaches not only over His people in His church, but also it includes, that is, His authority and governance reaches to every individual on the face of the earth. So with these things in mind, we'll take up this next part, that is, be found over in Matthew chapter 16. In reading Matthew 16, I realize that as we consider some of these points, that those of you who are listening, you may hear these things and wonder, well, what is the, doesn't this person who's bringing that message, doesn't he know that everybody don't agree exactly with what's being stated? And inasmuch as everybody don't agree with it, then it shouldn't be addressed. Well, my radio friend, I want to ask you to consider that what we're trying to do is just share what's in the Word of God and trying to explain it. And then the first thing we ask was that everyone just be willing to prayerfully consider and look into the Word of God for themselves to find out whether or not the things that we're speaking and addressing, whether or not they're true. And then realizing that each of us, that's you and I, everyone, has got to take these things up and are individually responsible unto God for what we believe on these matters. So if the things that we're addressing, if you study it and you find that you just absolutely cannot agree, we'd ask you to pray for us. You continue to study. I'll continue to study. But I do stand today, after being in the ministry now for a number of years and having studied this thoroughly as we have, as we really feel like that we can, but willing to continue to study, we do feel like what we're addressing is indeed what that the Word of God is teaching, and we just ask for you to consider it prayerfully as well. But we feel like that the responsibility of studying is such that we just can't ignore what it is that the Bible teaches and be willing to share accurately what we feel like the Bible teaches, and then be willing to support and pray for others as they consider it, because the ultimate responsibility is not for some listener to me, the speaker, but for every man, woman, boy, and girl unto God. So hope that we might touch on some things that might help studying these points be a little bit easier. If we can, then we're thankful and just want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to have a helpful part in His great work. So out of Matthew chapter 16, we'll start reading back at verse 13. And here we find it written, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Well, the mistakes we may have made, this gives us a reading lesson out of Matthew 16. We've read from verse 13 down through verse 20. Reading these scriptures, we notice that Christ has turned to his disciples, and he has asked them, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he's obviously inquiring of his followers, who it is that has followed him closely, his disciples. He's inquiring of them what that those about them, or those who are not counted in their number, what are they saying about Christ? What is it that they're speaking? What is it that they are saying that Christ is? After receiving that answer, I notice that he then changes and says, But whom do ye say that I am? So he asks first off about what are the people on the outside of our group, what do they say about me? And then he says, But then what about you, these close followers of Christ? And then Peter, in his, as you study the scriptures and you study the nature of Peter through as we find it in the scriptures, Peter speaks up. He's like some of these who I went to school with growing up. Perhaps you can think of people in your group who, as you were growing up, or maybe even in your group who you affiliate with now. If a group of you are standing together and a question was asked of you, y'all are standing there in the crowd, there may be someone in your group who might just speak up, and in speaking up, do so in such a way as to be speaking for the group. This is what Peter does. Peter speaks up, but he's speaking as a representative of the group. And he says, Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And having said this, then the Lord states some things, and as he states these things, I notice part of what that he states gives us information on the kingdom. And he said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And notice then verse 18, he says, I say unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, and he goes further, and I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The item here that I'm drawing out regarding the kingdom is I notice that the Lord speaks saying that the keys to the kingdom is going to be entrusted to either someone or to something. And there is quite a bit of a debate on what it is that the Lord was saying here. There's a lot of different opinions on what it is that the Lord was meaning when he says, I'll give to thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. But regardless of what this discussion is, I'm not going to take up all sides of it. I just want to take up what I have found that the Bible teaches on it, and then allow you to study what that it is that I say that I found, and prayerfully consider it, and be willing to indeed answer questions for clarification if I need to. In Matthew 16, then, when he says to Peter, he says, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I find here that when the Lord makes this comment, when you study this in the original language, now this was originally written in Greek, when he says, Thou art Peter, the actual name Peter comes from a word that means a stone or a rock. But it's not just any type of stone or rock, it's a particular type of stone or rock. So when he says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now, he says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." The second time this word comes up, so the first time, "Thou art Peter," he's saying, "Thou art a rock, a particular kind of rock. And upon this rock, this second rock, is another particular kind of rock," when you look at it in the original language. So you have Peter, which that comes from a Greek word that means a particular kind of rock, and also this other word that we have in our English as rock, also used in this sentence. So two words that means rock are used in this sentence. The one is translated Peter, the other is translated rock. Both of these are particular words meaning a particular kind of rock, but they're not the same. The first, the one that's comes out as Peter, means a small stone. This would be something that you could pick up and throw. It would be the size that you could carry in your hand, you could throw it. The other rock that's mentioned is a large stone. It would be like a rock down in the strata of the earth, a large strata type stone, one which you could not carry, one which you could not pack. And in studying not only this verse of Scripture, but depending on what time allows in this message, maybe take up this in a separate part to expound upon it some more. But when you consider the Scriptures are telling us that the people who have been saved and placed into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are a type of stone. They are a living stone, built up a spiritual house. But they become associated with another stone, a large stone, a chief stone, a more significant, as a matter of fact, this stone that is so significant, it is such that all the others must be tied to it, just like building a wall. And if you're building a wall, there are rocks in the wall. If you're building a house and you're laying the foundation, in the foundation itself, there are particular positions that stones are placed in, but there are some stones are more important than others in the strength and the actual how that the foundations are tied together. And so it is with this. When the Lord says to Peter, "Now you're a stone, but upon this more significant rock is my church going to be built." And this teaching that Peter is not that big significant rock, but rather that Peter is one stone among many, which are important. They tie into the house, but they are not the significant stone, the chief stone, the primary stone, as not only found here in Matthew, but then when you read other scriptures, you read in other places that point out that Christ is the significant. He is the foundation. He is that chief cornerstone. So when you look at this, the Lord is saying, "Now, blessed are you, Peter. You are Peter. You're a rock. And upon this stone," speaking of his own self, upon Christ, he's saying, "Peter, now you're a stone. Blessed art you, Peter, for you're a stone. But I'm the significant rock. And upon this significant rock, upon me, I am going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And then, in referring to Peter in the way he does, he is bringing him into an association with him as a church member. And you're going to find, as like I said, as we go further into the Scriptures on this point, that all church members, all who've been saved, and after being saved, after being brought into the family of God through salvation, and then baptized into the church that Christ set up, every child of God who enters into the church through baptism, they become, just like Peter, parts of the great house of God, which the Lord here says is His church. And He says, "And I'll give to thee," that is the church, "the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And that gets us into some of the deeper points of governance in the house of God. However, that wouldn't be our point to get into that, but just to point out that there is a direct association between the church and the kingdom. And with this direct association being present, it tells us the kingdom is already set up, because this institution of the Lord, who he refers to as his church, must be set up. It must be established, because how can Christ give the keys of the kingdom to the church without the kingdom already being present? Some scriptures that you might want to consider in studying the points that we've addressed would be found over in Ephesians and in chapter 2. Ephesians and in chapter 2, I'm just going to quickly read this section of scriptures so that as you might study and think on these points, these scriptures might help you. Apostle Paul, writing to the Gentiles in Ephesus, says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." So you see that the very foundation of the apostles and prophets, that is true, that they were the first in the church. So they have there's an equality, a significant equality in the church. Peter, being one of these apostles, shares in that equality. He's not more significant than the others, but he is one among the others. And who does this scripture say is that the chief cornerstone? Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So you get that idea. Peter, now you're a stone. But not only is Peter a stone, but all these apostles are stones in this foundation. But he says, but upon this rock, upon this chief cornerstone, who Christ is saying, that's his own self. Just like this verse of scripture, Ephesians 2 and verse 20. It says, Christ is the chief cornerstone. And all the building, that is the whole church that the Lord referred to as his church, is built upon this foundation, himself being the chief cornerstone. One more reference is out of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, scripture speaking of Christ, beginning with verse 4, says, "To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." So all the church members are referred to as lively stones. Lively stones, not left in disarray to do their own thing, but lively stones built up a spiritual house, brought into the organization, of which there is a chief cornerstone. Who is the chief cornerstone? Jesus Christ, who is elect and precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So as we said, and as you read Matthew 16, you read this scripture, and I know there's been a lot of different thoughts on, well, what is the meaning of this scripture? Who is given the keys to the kingdom? What particularly is the Lord saying of Peter, as he calls Peter out and says that he is definitely part of the church, but what is he telling Peter about his part in the church? And I've tried to take this up in reference to the kingdom, because the keys to the kingdom were given. The Lord said he is going to give the keys to the kingdom to the church, as he explained this, and in this, as he was answering and responding to what Peter said. And so what we've tried to do in clarifying what that the Lord was saying, we've pointed out the original words, the original language for what does that word Peter mean, and the second word rock, what do those mean? And then not only from the Greek language from which those words stem from, but went over in the book of Ephesians and then over in the book of 1 Peter and looked at those two places in the scriptures that supports what we understand of what the Lord was saying there in Matthew 16. I hope this has been helpful. If so, thank the Lord for that, because he's the one we look to for our guidance and direction. And I ask you to continue to pray for me, and I'll try to remember to pray for you as well till we're able to come back this way again. Again, this is Mike Bronner praying that God would richly bless you and yours.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.